Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
The passage that was just read to you just a few moments ago is a very, very important passage from God's Word. And in preparing for this lesson, there have been a number of events that really caught my attention recently. For instance, just about a month ago in Pulaski, Tennessee, there were two sons burned in a house fire. Sad that this event had to claim the lives of those two young boys. And then just about 2 weeks ago in Memphis, Tennessee, there was a mother who allowed her sons to be unkept. A house fire broke out and she lost her two sons and is now under indictment because of that. And then just about a month ago in Knoxville, Tennessee, there was another house fire broke out and there were two sons in that house. And those sons almost lost their lives, but because of their father, he rushed in and tried to save their lives. And you say, what's the significance of that? Why are you bringing up news articles with regards to these people and what is important about that to us? I want you to think if those were your two sons. And I want you to think about the sadness and the grief that has been expressed among people in our area. We're talking about in the state of Tennessee, people who have lost their sons. I dare say there are mothers who have cried tears, fathers who have cried tears, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, because of the sad thought of a fire taking the life of a young man. Not just one young man, but two young men. And now I want you to go with me in your mind to an event that occurred in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, verses 1 and following. When two of the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, entered into the tabernacle of the Lord, and as they were carrying out their activities, they did wrong. And fire broke out from the Lord and killed those two young men. Burned them alive. That was a horrific event. It's one which is difficult for me to imagine. Here is Aaron. Here are two of his sons. He has four sons. Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. His two oldest boys are now struck down by the Lord by fire. I cannot fathom the idea of how sad of an event that must have been. But you know, that means it's so important that we listen and learn about those events lest we allow ourselves to commit some of the same problems or commit some of the same sins they did and have the same problems they did. This morning, I'd like for us to look at three things from this passage. Number one, they were consecrated servants. Unless I appreciate who they were, I can't understand why God reacted the way He did. It's important for us to look briefly at the books of Exodus and Leviticus as we try to understand what is occurring here on this occasion. Number two, I would like to look at the calloused sin that they committed. There was a real issue here about what they did. And then number three, I would like for us to look at ourselves and see if we're going to render careful service to our Lord. Let's begin, first of all, with this idea of consecrated servants. And I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Leviticus. Because this book is the guidebook for the priest. It tells them everything that they need to know to carry out their job as a priest before God. In fact, if you will notice, it focuses on the rules for the priest. It will focus on the sacrifices they are to offer, what they're for, what they should be offering, how it should be offered. Then it will concentrate further on the fact of what they are to do and their participation in it. In fact, if you outline it, chapters 1 through 7 are regulations for the offerings, a sin offering, a burnt offering, a peace offering, a trespass offering. How are you to present these to the Lord? Then in chapters 8 and 9, regulations for the priest. How are they to adorn themselves? What kind of clothes are they supposed to wear? How are they supposed to conduct themselves as priests? All of that is extremely important because that leads us up to chapter 10, verses 1 and following. One of the things that I want you to notice is that they were prepared to serve. When I go to chapter 9, verses 22 through 24, I read, "Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting, and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." I want you to understand how great a momentous event this was. This was the inauguration of the tabernacle of meeting. This was not a small event. This was a ground swelling event that caused the appreciation of the people. Those who were going to serve in this great tabernacle of meeting were going to serve for generations to come. They were going to allow the people to approach God. They were going to provide the sacrifices for the forgiveness of their sins. It's difficult for us to understand how great of an event this was just prior to what occurs with Nadab and Abihu. Priests were special people for the Lord. What makes them special, if you'll notice here, it says, "Also let the priests who come near me," or come near the Lord, "consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." To consecrate oneself means that you make it special. In fact, the word consecration is set and apart to things that are ordinary, that are plain, or to use the Bible term, they're profane. So they're supposed to take themselves and make themselves special for the Lord. Unless they did, it says that God would break out against those who failed to give Him His due respect. That's going to be a phrase that I want you to listen carefully to as we follow through. God is going to break out against His people. Those who serve God are special because they serve a special God. He's not ordinary. He's not Baal. He's not Molech. This is the God of the universe. This is the one true God. And for that reason, these people must make themselves special. Now let me focus, if you will, from the big picture of the priest down to Nadab and Abihu. How special were Nadab and Abihu? What privileges did they enjoy that others did not? I want you to listen as we go to the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 9 and 10. "Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders," or 70 of the elders of Israel. "And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity." When Moses tells us this, there's something special. They have gone up to Mount Sinai. Not everybody got to go up to the mountain. Those who got to go up were Moses, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders. What did they get to see? They saw the glory of the Lord. They saw a vision. They saw a manifestation of the glory of God, and it was so remarkable. It says it appeared to be like a sapphire stone, but it wasn't a cloudy stone. It was clear. Nadab and Abihu were no ordinary men. They were special men chosen by God. Aaron, his sons, Nadab and Abihu. Well, that leads me to chapter 10 and verses 1 and following about what occurred with them. And as one surveys the calloused, horrific event here, there are three issues that come out in the text. Three problems that you can't get past. And I want to list the three problems first, and then I want to look at them individually. The first one is stated in verse 1. They offered strange or profane fire which the Lord had not commanded them. That's the first thing that was wrong. The second, if you go and, well, let's look at the text. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer, put fire on it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord which he had not commanded them. The second thing that you notice in this context is found in verses 8 through 11. It follows the events and reminds Aaron that they're not supposed to drink wine or intoxicating drink. Verses 8 through 10. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between the holy and the unholy, between the unclean and the clean." He's saying you can't drink when you go into that tabernacle of meeting. But a third one is found in chapter 16. And when we get to chapter 16, Moses is going to look back to this event and he's going to tie these events together. And he's going to say to them in verses 1 and 2, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat.'" Don't come at just any time. Is there a connection with the phrase, "lest he die"? Is there a connection between going into the holy place and the incense? And I'd suggest to you there is. Let's take a look at those three things very briefly here this morning. First of all, the profane or strange fire that they offered. The word profane or the word strange means something foreign. For instance, if a person were to walk into our assembly this morning from a country far away around the world, we might say he looks a little strange. It may be his dress, it may be the facial features that he has, but it's different. That's the word here, the word foreign. In fact, if you go back to Exodus chapter 30, he uses the word there when he talks about the incense in which they're to offer. There was a particular kind of incense that God had designated, and he said, "Don't offer anything else," because he said, "You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it." He said, "I don't want anything strange in it. I want it like it should be." There was a correct place from which they were to get the fire. The fire that they were going to offer to God was to come from a particular place, and I would suggest to you that also at a particular time. When I go to chapter 16 and look at verses 11 and 12, "And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of the burning coals of the fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. You say, is there an application in this? The fire is supposed to come from the altar, but it's not just any fire. It is the fire which has been used to kindle the sacrifice for himself, his sin offering. That is when and where that fire was supposed to come from. That fire also was to be taken with the incense and to be carried, notice carefully, inside the veil to the mercy seat. And we're going to talk about that just briefly in a minute. Their fire came from somewhere or sometime else. It was not the fire the Lord had commanded them. It was a fire of which the Lord had commanded them not. Now let's look, second of all, at the statement, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink. One is made to wonder why these two men would make such a mistake. I've heard over the years about people making serious mistakes that have cost them their lives. A few years ago, I was reading about a man who was an electrician, who was an accomplished electrician. He knew exactly what he was doing. But this man placed a piece of tool or equipment into a hot line and electrocuted himself. And the questions were asked, why did this man do this? And then it came out that he was under the influence of alcohol. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done that. You're made to wonder why people would do all sorts of things. And one of the reasons why is because of the influence of alcohol. Intoxication makes people see strange things and makes them do strange things. Proverbs 23, verse 33, your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. You put a little alcohol in people and you'll bring out an entirely different person. It makes a person unable. It makes it difficult for them to make a proper distinction between the holy and the unholy, the clean and the unclean. Look at verse 10 again. That you may distinguish between the holy and the unholy, between the unclean and the clean. Here are these two young men. They're to get fire. If they're intoxicated, maybe they're not paying attention to when and where they're getting that fire. Number three, the most holy place of chapter 16. It is most holy because that's where God is to be met. God is to be met above that mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, inside the most holy place, which is inside the veil of that tabernacle. Before the priest could go in there, he had to be appropriately dressed. He had to bring with him the appropriate sacrifices. I want to just notice two verses from chapter 16. Verse 4, he shall put on the holy tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with a linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. I want you to visualize, this is not an everyday event. This is a special day. This is the Day of Atonement. The high priest gets to go in there one time a year on the Day of Atonement. When he goes in, he doesn't go in with just ordinary clothes. He has to put on special clothes. Verse 13, and he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Everything that's involved in this is all so carefully done, lest he die. Now, if all three aspects of this were at hand, in order you take all three elements of it, here's what you see. Intoxication probably brought about their careless actions. That is, they did not respect the day this was. This is the inauguration. This is the day in which the tabernacle is being set forth. And what are they going to do? They're intoxicated. Number two, they evidently went into the veil without proper respect or authority. It was only for the high priest to go in there. And yet we notice in chapter 16 of Leviticus, don't let him go in just at any time. And what happens is, one going in was to first offer sacrifice for his own sins. These men did not grasp the fact that it was for their sins that they had to first atone for. And then stated very plainly in verse 3, God is to be regarded as holy. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. So before the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. I go back to the introduction of the lesson and think about those young fellows that died. How you have mothers and fathers, aunts and uncles, others who are grieving deeply because of the loss of children. And now, here you have two men who've lost their lives. And Aaron held his peace. He understood his sons did not glorify God before the people. His sons did not regard God as holy. And that's the only thing that really matters. When these people begin to serve the Lord, if you don't regard God as holy, you don't glorify God in front of the people, then what else you will do will not be meaningful or matter. And that brings me to the third part, and that is, what does that mean for us today? If we read and study about Nadab and Abihu and about Aaron and about the sacrifices, some people might say, that's Old Testament stuff. That really doesn't have any application, meaning, or bearing on who I am today. Oh, but it does. Romans 15:4 says that those things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. They're there to teach us lessons. And when it comes to holy things, one must not tamper with the way that God says things are to be done. It's not my right. It is not your right. It is no man's right to say we can change the holy things. Worship must be done at God's directions and not at my desire. There are some things that I like and some things I don't like. But that's irrelevant when it comes to the worship of God. What matters is what God wants and what He has said. There's some strange practices being brought into God's service and worship today. I could enumerate a number of these. I don't have time to do that. But let me point out to you that the main purpose that we see of the worship in the New Testament is to give glory and honor to God by all the people. There are many passages such as Ephesians 5 verse 19, Colossians 3:16, which talk about our speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And yet, today, many of the strange practices have changed from the congregation offering worship to God to performance to please the people in the pew. It's a strange intent. that has changed the focus away from God to the focus on ourselves. And you see, that will not do in God's sight. What else does it mean? I pondered through the thoughts of why did God have to kill them? Why did God have to break forth as He said He would against Nadab and Abihu? Why burn those two young boys up? What did they do that was so bad that God had to do this just really, really harsh thing? God had to make a point. When the church was in its infancy, in Acts chapter 5, and there was a great need to be able to support the people who were there still in Jerusalem following the day of Pentecost. There were people who were very generous, like Barnabas, had a piece of property, sold it, brought the proceeds and laid it at the apostles' feet, Acts chapter 4, the end of the chapter. You come to chapter 5 and you have a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. They had a piece of property, they sold it. They brought part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. That wasn't the problem, that it was only a partial amount. The problem was they lied about it. And immediately, Ananias fell dead. Following that, his wife Sapphira fell dead. Why? Such harsh actions. God had to make a point in the church. And great fear came upon all. In Numbers chapter 16. There was a challenge to the priesthood of Aaron by Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they had said to Moses and Aaron, "You take too much upon yourselves. All of the congregation is holy, every one of them." A challenge to God's order of Aaron being the high priest. God told Moses to have them to bring their censers. Bring your incense, and we'll see. And according to chapter 16, verse 35, "And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense." That's the followers of Korah. You see, God has to make a point so that He can get our attention. I wonder what would happen this morning if God decided in His wisdom, "I'm going to start bringing fire out of heaven for all these people who are worshiping me in a vain manner." Can you imagine what would happen to the news headlines tomorrow? Churches all over the country, churches all over the world. Fire coming out from God, according to those who will not worship Him according to His pattern. God's trying to make a point with us. He did that with Uzzah. David was so excited with the idea of bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, because that symbolized the presence of God, the mercy seat that was upon it. And he had prepared a brand new cart. Nothing else had ever ridden on that cart. Never mind the fact that God had said that it's to be transported by the poles. They placed it on a new cart. The oxen stumbled, the cart tilted. Uzzah put out his hand to do it. And we go to chapter 6 and verse 7 of 2 Samuel. "And the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God." I don't think I could overemphasize this morning how important it is that we regard God as holy and that we be careful about what we do. What else does it mean? God must be regarded as holy. Not just any old thing will do. There are people who have the idea that God will take whatever I offer Him regardless of what it is. I believe there are many people think that's okay. In Malachi 1 and verse 14, "But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations." God said, "I want you to respect me. I want you to place me up here as holy. If you don't get anything else out of the lesson this morning, Nadab and Abihu did not regard God as holy and they died. If you and I do not regard God as holy, we will die spiritually and eternally. Our worship should be approached seriously. I thought this morning, before I walked up here, how it is that I should speak. Because I don't want to violate God's law. James 3 verse 1 says, not for many of us to become teachers, knowing we will receive the stricter judgment. Every one of us who participate in the services this morning ought to think, am I glorifying God? Am I giving Him the respect that He deserves? God should be highly respected among us. And failure to obey God carefully will result in disastrous consequences as it always has. You see, when you finish the lesson, two young men died by fire. They needed to be instructed better to honor and glorify God. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you can't honor and glorify God like you need to. You can't acknowledge Him as your God because you've not followed through with obedience. But it's very likely that you wouldn't be here if you didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I'm convinced that many of you believe that. Probably, perhaps all of you believe that. But that's not enough. You've got to do more than just simply believe. You have got to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized. That's what Jesus taught that men must do. Mark 16, verse 16. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. It may be that you have allowed yourself to not regard the Lord as holy, and that in your minds, when the prayers have been prayed, you aren't praying. It may have been this morning when the emblems that were passed by and you partook of that bread and that fruit of the vine that you didn't think of the body and the blood of the Lord. If that's a sin of your mind, then you need to ask God to forgive you. No one knows what's going on in your mind but you and the Lord, and if it is, you need to ask forgiveness for that. But it may be that your life has been a reflection of the fact that you didn't respect God. And people can see your lack of respect. And if that's been who you are and you're a Christian, you need to respond this morning to come back and be restored to faithfulness. And be thankful that God doesn't strike people dead today for their lack of respect for Him.